I remember pointing to him and telling my friends, "Let's walk around this one." They reacted with terror because they were stuck in a story and they missed the beauty. The snake wisely got away from us as quickly as he could. He could have been the sand, the desert holly, the hidden waters. The earth is like a mother, quiet, unmoving, unrelenting in her honesty and kindness. To be in the desert alone is to understand the absoluteness of solitude, the positive nature of emptiness. During the day, no sound, just mile after mile of sameness. Imagination has no context for the vastness of the desert when you're in it alone. And at night, in the moonless world, amid the smells and the silence, you lie down and have no idea what you're lying on. Is it a snake? A cactus? So you lie and wait. Look up at the stars and receive the ground, the coolness of the sand, giving up the idea that mine could grasp the lumps under your leg or your shoulder. And then the thought of time. Is it midnight? Is it 5 days later? 5 years later? And what am I who wonder what I am? And the smile that comes from knowing that you can't know and don't really care, that the answer to that would shrivel in the delight of this moment. Nothing of life imagined can compete with the beauty of nothingness, the vastness of it, the unfathomable darkness. This amazing desert earth has been my greatest teacher. She doesn't budge from what she is. I sit on her and there is no movement, no discussion, no complaint. The earth just gives without condition, unnoticed, and that's the proof of love. She doesn't ever withhold. She doesn't compromise. The way she speaks is through the wind and the rain, the sand, the rocks, the sounds of her creatures. She just sings her song without meaning, and she continues to give without any expectation of return. She'll support you all your life, and if you throw a tin can onto her, or dump poison into her bloodstream, or drop a bomb on her, there is still total, unconditional love. She keeps giving and giving. She's me awake. She's you.
Throw away holiness and wisdom, and people will be 100 times happier.
You are the wisdom you're seeking, and inquiry is a way to make that wisdom available whenever you want. My experience is that there's no one with more or less wisdom. We all have it equally. That's the freedom I enjoy. If you think that you have a problem, you're confused. God's will and your will are the same, whether you notice it or not. There's no mistake in the universe. It's not possible to have the concept mistake unless you're comparing what is with what isn't. Without the story in your mind, it's all perfect. No mistake. Strangers used to hear about me and show up at my front door, and some of them would put their palms together and bow and say, "Namaste." I'd never heard that before. People don't say namaste where I come from, the little desert town where I lived. So I thought they were saying, "No mistake." I was thrilled that the people coming to my door were so wise. No mistake, no mistake. There is a perfect order here. Holiness and wisdom are just concepts that separate us from ourselves. We think that there's some ideal we have to strive for, as if Jesus were any holier or the Buddha any wiser than we are right now, in this moment. Who would you be without your story of yourself? It's stressful to have ideals that you can achieve only in the future, a future that never comes. When you no longer believe the thought that you need to achieve anything, the world becomes a much kinder place. Sin, too, is a concept. Think of the worst thing you ever did. Go into it as deeply as you can from the perspective of the person you were at the time. With the limited understanding you had then, weren't you doing the best you could? How could you have done it any differently, believing what you believed? If you really enter this exercise, you'll see that nothing else is possible. The possibility that anything else could have happened is just a thought you have now about a then, an imagined past that you are comparing with the real past, which is also imagined. We're all doing the best we can, and if you feel that you've hurt someone, make amends, and thank the experience for showing you how not to live. Ask them, how can you make it right? No one would ever hurt another human being if he or she weren't confused. Confusion is the only suffering on this planet. I was once walking through the streets of Dublin with a Catholic priest who appreciated the work and did it on a regular basis. We came to a cathedral. He invited me in. We walked around inside the cathedral for a while. Then he pointed to a little booth and said, "This is a confessional. Would you like to step in?" It seemed important to him. I said yes. So he stepped into his cubicle, and I stepped into mine, and I thought, what do I have to confess? I searched and searched, and nothing came. Then through the little window, something did come. He began confessing to me. Later, outside the cathedral, we applied the four questions to each imagined sin and turned it around, and he said that a great weight had been lifted from him. Everyone is doing his job. No one is more valuable than another. The things in the world that we think are so terrible are actually great teachers. There's no mistake and there's nothing lacking. We're always going to get what we need, not what we think we need. Then we come to see that what we need is not only what we have, it's what we want. Then we come to want only what is. That way we always succeed, whatever happens.
I alone possess nothing.
You can't have an up without a down. You can't have a left without a right. This is duality. If you have a problem, you must already have the solution. The question is, do you really want the solution? Or do you want to perpetuate the problem?